stars to tremble at the light that you bring when you walk into the room. Every heart starts burning. Nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship. And every hopeless situation ceases to exist when you walk into the room. The dead begin to rise, cause there is resurrection life, and all you do.
We can't get enough. My life is put your hands all over this building. Just begin to tell him in your own words, God, I can't get enough of you. Jesus, we want more of you. Jesus, we desire you. We long for you. You are our hope and our expectation. You are our friend and our deliverer, the one in whom we trust. Jesus, you are the King. We worship you. The one who is worthy. We worship you. We bless your name. Come on, open up your mouth and just tell him in your own words. Release out a praise. Release out a new song. Engage the Holy Spirit in this moment. Singing that. He's moving in this room. He's moving. Let him move in your heart. Let him begin to burn away the things that don't need to be there. John 15 says that we must abide in him. He that abides in him bears much fruit. The one that does not bear fruit is cut off and cast into the fire. And the one who does, the one who bears fruit, he prunes. He prunes, he purges, and the purging is uncomfortable. Sometimes we have to go through the fire. Sometimes we need to let him burn away the things that don't need to be there, to cut away the things that are hindering us and holding us back. Come on, just sing it out and let him burn away. Let him consume you. Father, we ask you to consume us today. The one who is a consuming fire, we lay ourselves down before you. We say, consume us, God. Come, fire of God, come.
Bye.
can feel that. The presence of the Holy Spirit is so thick in this room right now. We have to just rever this moment. We have to be still in His presence. We're going to take another moment and just enjoy this anointing. Just close your eyes right where you are. Don't be looking around. Don't be concerned about anything else happening. Just focus on Him. He's healing hearts right now. He's burning away chaff right now. He's breathing life into visions right now, into dreams. Dreams that have been dead, dreams that some have given up on. He's breathing life into those things again right now. I don't know who that's for, but God is saying to someone right now, that dream that you thought was dead, I am resurrecting. I am resurrecting because I am a resurrecting God. Whatever your need is, just focus on Him. For us, that you would give it all for your children. We thank you that death could not hold you down, but you conquered death and the grave, sin and the power thereof. We receive your life, Jesus. We receive your healing virtue. In your name we pray. Amen. Give God a big hand of praise. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I just love basking in the presence of God. He's so good to us. He's so good. And we can't get enough. We can't ever get enough of Him. We always want more. I want to welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. If you're tuning in online today, thank you for joining us. We're glad you're here. If this is your first time with us, please visit us in the foyer. Step by the Welcome Center after the service so that we can give you a personal welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. At this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways to give. You can do so on our My Church app. You can do so by text, or you can do so on our website. If you're giving by check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. If you're giving online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. And if you're in the building, we welcome you to come forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
Today. Come on, give the Lord praise today, would you? There's a balm in Gilead. That's a latest release from Krista, and it's available on all downloadable markets, all those names. There are plenty of places, Apple Music, Spotify, all those things. It's also available if you're in the 90s and you want a CD. You can have one of those for $4. That's just really inexpensive, $4. And she'll have those available after the service if you would like to have one of those. Give her a hand of appreciation, would you? Hallelujah. Y'all be careful today. I'm drinking smart water. Amen. Be careful. I just passed a car on the road yesterday, and it was called a smart car, and I got a smartphone in my pocket. So watch out, okay? Praise the Lord. Today we're going to talk about winning souls. Amen. How many of you are excited about seeing souls come to the Lord? Come on now. I said, how many of you are excited about seeing souls come to the Lord? You know, I was thinking as Pastor Noli was ministering there so effectively, he talked about the essence of what Jesus was talking about bearing fruit. And I thought, Lord, you're so faithful, because that's what we're talking about today in the message, the bearing of fruit. How do we bear fruit? We bear fruit by winning souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Proverbs says what? He that winneth souls, help me, is wise. One person knew that. Amen. He that winneth souls is wise. And I was also thinking as he was ministering, I was just kind of struck in the valley there for a second. Do I move forward? Do I say this? Do I say that? I was thinking, even prophetically, the Lord was speaking to my heart. Maybe he was just speaking to me that, you know, the Lord is still building his church. He is. He's still building his church. I passed by, you know, several churches to get here, as most of you do. And I saw on this cold day, church still meeting in the parking lot. And the thought came to me, and I'm, you know, say, hey, be careful, Pastor, don't be critical. But I thought, how long are we going to be run out of the building? Come on. How long are we going to be run out of the building to sit in the parking lot? You know, it looks kind of bleak for the church in so many cases today. But can I just tell you something? It's not bleak. He's still building. Help me, church. He's still building his church. And the Bible says, listen, we shouldn't let a virus push the church away, because he said the what? The gates of hell could not even push the church away. Come on. Have I got a few excited people today? Is anybody here that's excited about what God is doing in the earth today? Amen. I'm excited. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, we come before you today with gratitude in our hearts, God, thanking you for the opportunity we have to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord, we're thankful that we have the opportunity today as a believer to share this glorious message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to every creature. Father, I pray divine appointments would be set up in our lives as we come to a close in the service today, and we commission your people to look for opportunities to share the gospel. I pray that they would seize those, and the power of the Holy Spirit would not only set us up for witness, but would also close the deal and cause us to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our prayer in Jesus' name, and everybody said a strong amen. Amen. God bless you. So good to be here today, and so glad to have you watching online. If you're watching online today, thank you so much. We're in the Vision series. I love preaching this series. I really love talking about the mission. I loved week before last when we talked about the issue of love. God's called us to do what? Love, win, build, and send. That's our vision statement. Carpenter Shop International Church is a multi-ethnic, multi-generational body. That means you can be old and we love you, and we can be young and we love you. Amen? Multi-generational. Amen? Because, you know, I was once young. Come on, somebody. I was once young. Amen? And it's also a body of believers whose vision is to do what? Love all people. I love just a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the thread of the blood thread of Jesus Christ that runs through that great message from Genesis all the way to the end, and how the blood of Jesus Christ is that which makes it possible for us to be born again. Whose vision is to love people, win them to Christ, build them in discipleship, and then send them out to fulfill their divine destiny. Today I want to talk to you about that second key word, win. Somebody say win. God wants us to do what? He wants us to win people to him, to see people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to an understanding that they too were destined to serve the Lord, trusting him for salvation. And that's really what should happen when we share the message of the gospel, the good news. As we proclaim the gospel and release the gospel, Paul told us in Romans that the gospel was what? The power of God unto salvation. It was the power of God unto salvation. And that's what should happen. The Bible says that God confirms his word. Amen? That all over the world. I was thinking this morning, I got up, you know, and I was preparing myself for church today and did something that I don't usually do. I usually just catch preachers on Facebook coming to church, and I did that today as well. But I turned on the television, and I looked at various preachers. I started out with Charles Stanley. Amen? Charles Stanley from Georgia, preaching the simple gospel message this morning. And he was literally talking about that very thing. The gospel is what saves us. The Bible says that when the gospel is preached, like it was this morning, like it is right now, like it is being preached simultaneously right now, because churches all over the earth are doing what? They're gathering for worship. They're listening to the collective proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. And the Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, look at this. It says, God also testified to it. How does God testify to the gospel? He gives what? Signs. He gives wonders. He gives various miracles. And by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he also distributes those according to his will. So God takes his word and performs it. He's faithful. Listen, this pandemic hasn't lessened the work of God. It hasn't lessened the work of God. It saddens my heart to see that in many cases, the church has seemed to be easily swayed and in some cases buckled under to some threat of a virus. Think about it. Pastor Joy was in a class yesterday, and I had the opportunity to audit the class. That means that I didn't have to take it for credit, but I could listen in. And she had been reading this book about preaching the gospel. And in that book, she uncovered some statistics that reminded me, as I approached this word today on winning, it reminded me that we're really missing the mark in America, because the gospel has been so powerful and even more powerful in the uttermost parts of the earth. Did you know that? There's an amazing transformation of souls, but yet it kind of extends beyond America and goes into the borders. America has become comfortable. Amen? You say, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But Jesus said what? But I say unto you, you're cold, wet, naked, miserable, blind. You know what? Listen, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in America needs desperately a revival in the Holy Spirit. Come on. We need that. I was thinking as we were worshiping this morning, I so enjoyed the worship. I was thinking about how this team works together, the front line, the back line, everybody has their part. And we're putting together a collective package for right now. 182 nations this week will listen to this message on winning. 182 nations of the earth, because a team has come together and collectively we present the gospel of Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing. No, you may not be packed to capacity this morning at 903 South Catherine Creek Road in Ahoskie, but guess what? He's building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And though you may not pack this place out, God is still taking the messages that are preached and the worship experience, and he's using that for his honor and for his glory. And according to this verse right here, what will he do when his word is preached? He will testify to it with what? Signs and wonders. Come on, church. And miracles. God will do incredible things. God will do incredible things. And we thank God for that. The gospel convicts. Remember when you were convicted by the Holy Spirit? The gospel convicts. And what else does the gospel do? The Holy Spirit takes the gospel and he testifies to it by bringing the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to your heart and to my heart, and draws us closer to himself. Come on. He does that. He draws us closer to himself. He moves the heart and he moves the spirit of man as the Holy Spirit does the work. You see, you don't have to save them. And by the way, you can't save them. You can't save people. But you can share, and you can share about the person and the plan that can move them from darkness to light. Come on. That's what you're called to do. Well, I'm not a preacher. No, no. But by nature of God's character and by the nature of the message of the gospel, you and I are called to release this ministry of reconciliation to other people. Amen? It's amazing. In recent months, I preached a funeral. And the Holy Spirit allowed me to do something very, very strong in the funeral service. And it was a little bit out of my, some of you have been to my funerals. I've preached so many funerals over the years and last 40 years of ministry. And some of you have been to my funerals and people will tell me all the time, Pastor, I love the way you do a funeral. How many of y'all like the way I do funerals? How many of you want me to do yours? Come on, in a few weeks. Anybody? No. Nobody. Nobody's ready. I want to go to heaven, but not today, okay? My wife even says, honey, you do such a good job with funerals. And you know what? I enjoy doing funerals. And you know what? I always keep them short and brief. And I get to the point. And in this particular funeral, I kind of crossed the line for what norm is for me. And I preached the gospel of Jesus Christ very passionately. And guess what happened at the end? Four people lifted their hand and said, I too would like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So amen. Guess what? A time of sorrow and sadness for some became a time of celebration for others because that was the day that they can mark that I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I had the blessing of slipping over to the side and reaching into my pocket and giving a business card, a ministry card to those four people. And I said, listen, let me just tell you something. Today, I saw you slip your hand up. I don't know you. I don't know where you go to church or even if you do. But I must tell you this as a preacher. It just starts today. Okay, you raised your hand. You said, I want to receive Christ. But I want to just tell you something. The next step is so important. It's discipleship. We'll get there. Love, win, do what? Build. We'll get there next week, perhaps, or the week after. It's God's called us to build. But I said, the next step is so important, and you've got to receive instruction from God's word. You've got to sit and take the position of a disciple. What is a disciple? It's one who will sit at his feet and learn. We take the position of a student or a pupil at the Lord's feet, and we receive all from the Bible that we can receive. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for the reading of the Word of God. Thank God for the preaching of the gospel. And he was a man who had been in and out of prison. As I got to talk to him personally there, he'd been in and out of prison, and his life had been filled with confusion and hardship according to his testimony. But let me just tell you something. It's really not that hard to present the gospel. We have to be willing to do something, and that is to speak up. We have to be willing to share from our heart, to proclaim the powerful message of the gospel. It's not your message. It's the power of his message that really makes the difference. I listened to a preacher this morning on television, and I got a little frustrated after about 2 minutes, and I thought, wow, he's just blowing smoke. You know, have you ever listened to any preacher like that? He was just blowing smoke. He was just rattling his own cage. Who was getting the most glorification of what he was doing was himself. And I thought, this is so sad. Money's being spent, and he's sitting there just tooting his horn. And I didn't find any witness in my spirit in the sermon. I thought, this is sad, because he's got time on the airwaves, and he's not telling anybody about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I flip over to an ancient man named Charles Stanley, and all of a sudden, he's just standing there, you know, up in his years, and he's talking about Jesus. And I could feel, come on. I could feel the witness of God's Spirit just flowing from his heart. He wasn't hollering. He wasn't shouting. He wasn't even moving around. He was standing still. But I could feel, help me, church, I could feel the witness of God's presence upon what he was saying. God anointed his what? His word. God testified to the word that was being proclaimed because of the signs and the wonders that were taking place in my own heart. Amen. So you listen, the Bible tells us that you and I are called to speak up, to proclaim it. And the gospel is the power of God to salvation. Let's take a look at what the Bible says about this today. 1 Peter chapter 8. I'm going to look just quickly at verses 15 to 17. When you have it, say amen. If you're looking over your head and don't look it up, just say amen. Amen. It's all right to cheat, isn't it? Amen. You got technology. But in your hearts, think about this. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Amen. In your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Always, how often? Always be prepared to give an answer to who? Everyone. Amen. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Wallace, you seem to be content with your life. You seem to be at peace. You seem to be living, and even though we're living in tumultuous times, it seems like you're a man of peace. Tell me about that. You should always be ready to give an answer. You should always be prepared to have an answer for that person who inquires. That we've come to Christ, and Christ has become our Savior, and He has become our what? Our Lord. He's become our Savior, and He's become our Lord. The Holy Spirit is speaking here to Peter, and he pens these words. But do this with gentleness and respect. Amen? I listened to another preacher this morning. Today's my day to just reveal my morning to you. I listened to another preacher, and you know what he was doing? He was taking the Word of God, and he was just beating the fire out of people. And I thought, whoa, he was just, man, loosen up, okay? I mean, and I was looking for anointing, but all I heard was noise. I heard volume, but I was looking for, in discernment, I was saying, God, what's going on here? Maybe he was getting out his frustrations, I don't know. But it was just bang, bang, bang. I remember, you know, many, many years ago, Pastor Joy, listen, your wife's always your best critic. And I would always ask her, you know, she sits on the front row, and I've been in ministry for 40 years, and I would say in those early days, listen, how'd I do? How many of y'all, when you do something, you want to know how you done? Okay, I would say, how'd I do? And sometimes she said, that was a great message, honey, it really was. And she would give me little critical remarks that would help me, because you know what, I don't want to do this and not be effective. Okay, I don't want to waste my time. I want to waste God's call upon my life. But furthermore, I don't want to waste your time either. I hope that today you're challenged, and when you leave here, you think about all this week winning souls. That's our goal, okay? That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. But I remember asking my wife one day, I said, hey, how was the message? And she looked at me, and her eyebrows kind of raised up, and I thought, oh boy, here we go. And she says, well, you just beat them up. I said, what? She said, you just beat them up today. Are you frustrated about something? I said, yes, I am. And she said, well, it was evident. Okay? My wife cared enough. She's my helpmate. She's my best friend. Okay? She's the one who will be, your best friend will tell you, listen, hey, partner, there's a booger on your lip. Okay? You need to get it off. Okay? If he's not a friend, guess what he'll do? He'll let you walk around and look stupid, needing a tissue and not using one. But my best friend told me the truth. She said, honey, you beat the people up this morning. What's going on with you? And so we talked about it. We talked about it. Listen, the gospel is not for you to just take your big, thick Bible and bang people on the head with it. That's not going to win souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not. Love will. We covered that 2 weeks ago. Love will cover what? A multitude of sins. You love people. And then when you love them, they respect you and listen to what you say. And then perhaps you have a chance to win them. Okay? He said, what you need to do is do this in gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. In other words, what's he saying? He said, some folks are going to go out here and talk bad about you, you know, like you think you're all that in a bag of chips. I remember when he used to carouse and raise hell and do all the stuff he did. I was talking to a brother about that this week over lunch. We were talking about our former days. And he said, I remember unplugging from those influences and teaming up with other people of like precious faith. And I remember some of my friends talking about me. You know, who's he think he is? I know the real him. But here's what Peter says here. Keep a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ would one day be what? Ashamed of their slander. For it's better if it's God's will to suffer for doing good than to suffer for doing evil. Come on. Come on, Peter. Peter says, hey, if you're going to get talked about for doing something good. Not about your evil days. Are you getting this? Verse 15a, look at this. But in your hearts, God, help this to be evident in my heart. as a man today, who's not just a pastor, but a Christian, help me to revere Christ in my heart as what? As Lord. That's a big word. Only four letters, but it carries a tremendous amount of weight. The Holy Spirit has told the Apostle Peter to remind us of the position that we have embraced and received as we've come to Christ and trusted him for his great plan of salvation. We also trust him for lordship. What does it mean to have a Lord? Well, a Lord is the owner or the possessor of a thing. Amen? Think about it. The Lord is the owner or the possessor of a thing. You have come to a place where you recognize that you're not your own. You belong to Christ. It is him who has made you. He's your what? Creator. It was God who created everything, and then he took dust of the earth, and he made mankind, and he bent over and breathed into him, and man became a living soul. Amen. God's your creator. And so he created you. You belong to him. Okay? You might live your life the first many, many years like you don't belong to him, but you are his. And he should be your Lord. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at what it says in verse 19 and 20. Don't you know, listen to what it says here. Don't you know that your body, yourself, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you receive from God? Look at what he says here plainly. You ain't your own. You ain't your own. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Come on. You were bought with the price of the precious blood of Jesus. He shed his blood for you, amen, and died for you so that you could experience true life, amen. You're not your own. He says, therefore, I want you to take your body and you honor God with it. I had to block a couple of people on Facebook this week. I just pulled their name up on my list. And I just looked at those three little dots to the right-hand side, and all the information came up, and I looked at it, and I thought, should I? I said, yeah, I need to block that. So I just hit block. And guess what I'll never see again? I'll never see you gyrating on my camera again. Hello? I'll never see you doing that dance again. You'll never do that on my phone again. Why? Because I blocked you. It's best that I block you, because I know what, I look in your feed, and I see that you're doing things that are not honoring to God. Therefore, honor God with what? With your body. That's why we encourage you to hold on to your body. Don't give it away. You don't give it away. I remember when I was in Bible college and Abigail went with me to class. Pastor Joy was working at a funeral home. She was helping pay the bills so that her husband could go to school. And she worked at a funeral home, and Abby was a little girl, and there were times when Abby, you know, if she had to stay out of daycare because of something going on, she had to go with me. So she went to class with me after she had her tonsils taken out, and she started kind of getting back to some sense of normal. And we were sitting in class, and this first time ever, the student next to me started to engage in conversation with me. And, oh, your little girl is so cute. What's her name? Her name's Abby. Did you know that means a father's joy? And we started talking, you know. And she said, oh, how many other kids do you have? And I have one other son, you know. And we began to talk. And we got to know each other through Abby going to class with me. And the professor allowed it. And Joy was able to work. And we were still able to eat and pay the rent. It was high, man. $160 a month for an apartment in Florida was high. But that's what the rent was, okay? 160, 600 square feet. Don't get excited, okay? 600 square feet. And that's the way we worked our way through Bible college. And in my relationship with this lady who was sitting across the aisle from me that first begun through the beauty of my little girl, I noticed that hanging around her neck was a small necklace with a small key on it. And she wore it every day. And I kept seeing that necklace. And so finally one day, I just went there. What did I ask her? What's the key mean? And you know what she said to me? She said, the key is the key to my heart. She said, my dad had a conversation with me about sexual things. And she said, it's been many, many years ago, but he said to me, he said, listen, I'm going to give you this key as a reminder that right now you're under my covering, okay? And so I don't want you to ever give your heart to another human being, another man, until the day you marry. So she said, I wear this key every day, and I've kept that oath to God, and I've never been sexually active, and I've kept that promise to my dad, and one day I'm going to find a husband, and I'm going to give him the key. Therefore, do what? Honor God with your body. Okay? Now, you can take that, and you let the Holy Spirit talk to your heart about that. I'm not going to say anymore. Amen? Come on, somebody ought to say amen. Therefore, honor God with your body. He's your what? He's your Lord. And Peter says in verse 15 that we are to revere him as Lord. I looked up that word in the original language. You know what it means? It means we're to sanctify. It means to set apart. Set apart our lives for him because he is our what? Our Lord. In other words, you've made a distinction in your life as the Spirit has now drawn you to Christ. And you've been set apart by him who is now the what? The owner and the possessor of your very soul. Man, this is deep. This is deep. You got your boots on? Come on. This is deep stuff. He is the owner and the possessor of your very life. Verse 15, second part of it says this. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Peter says, be ready to explain why you have hope in this life. Be ready to testify that Christ is the reason for your hope. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So you should be able to articulate from your heart an overview of salvation in your life and hopefully in theirs. We talk a lot. We text a lot. We message a lot. We email. We Snapchat. We Marco Polo. We Instagram. We got all kinds of ways of communication. In other words, we do a lot of talking, but when we talk, do we talk about Jesus? You say, well, Pastor, I see you talking about stuff on Facebook. Yeah, I talked all last week about my dog. His clothes now match mine. I got a little shirt made for him, Pastor Joy did, and when we didn't tell him, hey, we want this kind of shirt, or we want this kind of shirt, a little coat, and when I go pick the coat up for the dog, it matches mine. I thought, Holy Ghost, come on here. You know, got my dog doesn't like me. Come on. We talk a lot about different things. I talk on Facebook about my family. I talk about my church. I talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. I talk about the places that I might be traveling. We do a lot of talking, but the question is, are we talking about Jesus? Are we really talking about Jesus? Remember, what's in your heart will come out. Maybe the question should be this. Are we really in the spiritual condition that God wants us to be in? I remember when I first got saved, I took the time to take my Bible. I grew up on a Scofield study Bible. Anybody else got a Scofield study Bible? I grew up on a Scofield study Bible, King James. And I remember taking that Bible and opening the page, and my mother-in-law was the one who helped disciple me. I was, you know, I'm dating Joy, and I've given my heart to Jesus Christ and been filled with the Holy Spirit, and she's discipling me in unusual ways. She would just say sometimes, hey, what does 1 John 1:9 say? I mean, she would just hold your feet to the fire, man. I'd say, 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's right. I'm going to ask you tomorrow about another verse. And she would just drill you, man, like a drill sergeant. She would just throw this thing at you and say, what is that? Listen, you're interested in my daughter? You better know the Bible, boy, okay? She didn't beat me on the head, but you know what she did? She discipled me in so many ways. And she's the one that told me, listen, take that new Scofield Bible I gave you for Christmas. Take that Scofield Bible and write this down in the front. And she said, Romans. She took me down the Roman road. She said, write this down in the front of the Bible so that when someone asks you about what God has done in your life and what he's doing, you'll be able to quickly tell them. And so it was Romans 3:23. You know what it says? It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. And then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Romans 10, 9 and 10. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm speaking Elizabethan English for all the King James lovers. Glory to God. Because that's the way I learned it. Amen. For it is with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness, and it is with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation. I wrote those scriptures down. And whenever I was able to talk to someone, if I had my Bible with me, okay? Until I was able to take those and process them into my mind and spirit. You know what I'm talking about, okay? So after a while, it was no longer the Roman road that I used. After a while, now that I'm a student of the Lord, now that I'm his pupil, now that I'm his disciple, I began to receive other things from God, and I was able to pull then from scriptures as the Holy Spirit led me down those paths. Are you hearing me? This is simple stuff, brothers and sisters. This is easy stuff. It's where we should all should have been if we've accepted Christ. And so today I follow the Holy Spirit and I allow on the Word of God, not written in the front of my Bible, but I allow on the Word that, as David said, that I've hid in my heart, that not only that I might not sin against him, Psalm 119, but that I might recall those precious truths as the Holy Spirit sets me up for what task? For winning people to Jesus. Are you hearing this message today? Look at verse 15, the third part. But do this with gentleness and respect. You and I are not called to condemn people with the gospel. We're not to beat people down for their sin. Sin has enough guilt with it built in. Did you know that? You don't have to just, listen, a parent, you can run your kids away from the kingdom if you're not careful. You don't have to tell somebody, well, you know good and well you shouldn't be living together. You don't have to tell anybody that. Well, you know good and well you shouldn't be out drinking and carousing like that. You don't have to tell people that. Well, you know good and well you shouldn't be entertaining that kind of thing that you're entertaining in your life. You don't have to tell people, because I promise you for every sin, at least I've discovered this in my own life, for every sin that Wallace Phillips has ever committed or has lived in a season of sinful things in my life, I've always seen that God is faithful to bring a sense of guilt about that. Have you ever felt guilty about something? And you know full well that's really not right. You kind of condition yourself after a while and just kind of condone it. You just accept it. It becomes a part of you, and that's just who you are. But maybe it doesn't go away. Why? Because you haven't really brought it to the Father yet. Listen, I'm not here today to point my 59-year-old bony finger at you. I'm not. I'm here today to tell you that, listen, if the Holy Spirit is speaking tenderly to your heart about something, you know what God wants? He wants you to surrender that. He wants to have that part of your heart. Let's go back here for a second. Why? Because he wants to be your, help me, Lord. He's the possessor. He's the owner, and he wants your life to be lived in such a way that everyone knows without even asking. Who was it? St. Francis of Assisi says, every chance you get, share the gospel and use words if you have to. Okay, come on here. Did you hear that? Use words if you have to. That means that you and I are the opportunity to be the gospel everywhere we go. I'm loving this mess. If you don't like it, I do. Okay? But do this, he says, with gentleness and respect. You're not called to condemn. So we share the gospel in what? Love. We share the gospel in love. Verse 16 and 17. Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously about your good behavior of Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Maybe the Holy Spirit will bring that back to them and say, man, you ought to be ashamed of yourself for talking about him. Look at him. He's prospering in the things of God, and you're still out there in the world. For it is better, if it is God's will, to go through a little suffering for doing good than for doing evil. Peter is reiterating here the importance of following the Holy Spirit as a gentleman. And if he said, if they talk about you, let it be for good. That's the Phillips translation. Listen, you just share Jesus, and you let the power of the Holy Spirit take the rest of it and do what he's going to do with it. We must We must do this. Why? Because I did a bit of study on statistics. Check this out. Mormons, 58,000. Somebody say 58,000. 58,000. Hey, Pastor, why do you do that? Because when you say something, you're easier to remember it. 58,000 young men on a mission that every one of those teenage Mormon families say to their son, before you do anything you're thinking about doing, you're going on a mission. 58,000 per year. Think about that. 58,000 in America per year go on a mission because their family has signed them up for it. And you know what they're doing? They're experiencing an average of 300,000 converts to Mormonism annually. 300,000 people coming into the Mormon faith, averaging 5 converts per missionary per year. Did you win 5 souls to Jesus in 2020? I'm just asking a question. Did you have the joy of winning 5 individuals to Jesus Christ like a Mormon? And see, they don't even have the true message. Mormonism is a cult. It's not Christianity. And they're doing it out of good works. There's another group called the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're averaging 250,000 converts a year. And they too are cultic. But you know what they're doing every Saturday morning? They're getting together with the team, small groups. And they're starting out at 8 o'clock in the morning. And they spend an hour together. And then they come to your door and leave literature and knock on your door. Why? Because they're trying to get their message out. And I'm just asking you a question. You and I have the good news. We have the Evangelion in the original language. It is the good news. It is the power of God unto salvation. Christianity in the world is reporting that 2.7 million people are converting annually from some religion other than Christianity. Let me say that one more time. 2.7 million per year are converting to something other than Christianity. In January, an article of The Blaze just a couple of years ago reports that Muslims are coming to Jesus by the thousands in Syria, Iraq, Iran, Jordan, and the Middle East. In fact, it was about 3 years ago that Franklin Graham dedicated a brand new trauma hospital, 50 beds, right smack dab in the middle of that Middle East area. 3,000 people are fleeing from Mosul every day. Why? Because of the activities of ISIS. You may well remember that. 3,000 people are fleeing there. They've been shot. They've been wounded. Where do you think they ended up? They ended up in a hospital erected by Franklin Graham with 50 beds in it. Guess what he did? He healed their bodies physically with medicine and treatment. But he also shared the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Franklin Graham Ministries reports people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ from a Muslim faith. Can you imagine that? Listen, CBN reported this recently. I heard the story that there are 360,000 believers today in Iran alone. 360,000 Christians in Iran. They look back in the history, and in 1979, Iran reported somewhere between 400 and 500 Christians in the whole nation. Think about this. To go from 1979, 1980, from 500 to almost 500,000 believers in just a few years later because the gospel has been shared. The bottom line is this. The gospel is being preached and people are being saved around the world. And you and I are called, yes, like we talked a couple of weeks ago, to love people. We love people in many ways. You got your report about finances and things like that to your own personal email address. And Pastor Anoli put in there just some of the highlights of the things that Carpenter Shop was able to do in 2020. Hundreds of thousands of pounds of food shared right from this parking lot because of God's divine connection upon this church. Just got word this week that beginning February, we get to start giving away tractor trailer loads of food again with meat and dairy and produce and vegetables starting in the month of February. We get to love people, loving them one thing by giving them something. But how about winning them to Christ and sharing the gospel with them. Peter said this, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give the answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, and do it with gentleness and respect. Worship team, could you join me here? I'm going to ask you to do something today as you leave here that will engage you in evangelism. Amen? It will engage you in evangelism. Is Scott Wolf here today? I see Scott there. Yeah. In 1992, I came here to pastor this church. Sister Audrey walked up to me this morning in the aisle, and she showed me a picture of Pastor Joy and I the year that we were in the Ahoskey Christmas Parade in the back seat of a Model A Ford that belonged to George Stocks. And I was thin, and I had hair, and it was brown, okay? And we were standing there, and we were looking at people. Look at this person, look at this person. And we were looking at the years gone by, and we were naming those individuals. And with my help, we were able to name every person in the picture, okay? And I started thinking, I thought, isn't that amazing? I got a note down in my sermon notes today about when I first came to Ahoskey, 1992. Just a few weeks after we came here, we stood in the pulpit and we said, well, we're so glad to be here, and the church is just growing already in more ways than you know. And we smiled and said, because I'd like to share with you that Pastor Joy is expecting a child. And there he goes, okay? But I also did something else in those 90s. And I said, Lord, do it again. I wrote down names on my Bible. I have that Bible. I wore it out twice, had it recovered, paid $125 to have a new cover put on that Bible. Can you believe that? $125 to cover a $25 Bible. But I had it recovered twice. And then finally, I just gave it up and started using another one. And in the front of that Bible, I still have it. I opened that Bible and I took my ink pen and I wrote down everywhere that I went. As a new pastor here in this community, I went to eat at Golden Corral, and I met a man by the name of Scott Wolf, and I just wrote down there, Scott Wolf. And I would write names of people down. My car broke down. I went to Brittenham's Rebuilding Service, and I met Thomas Brittenham. And then I had a windshield to get broken, and I went to a Husky Radiator Glass, and I met a little skinny guy named Eddie Smith, and I wrote down Eddie Smith. And every person that I began to meet in my new relationships, I would write their names down. You know what I would do? I would pray for them. I would just pray. I'd say, God, you know Scott Wolf. You know, I see him at the Golden Crowd. Lord, I don't really know him that well, but you do. And I would just begin to pray for Scott Wolf and Thomas Brittenham and Eddie Smith. And the names just go on and on and on. And matter of fact, just around Christmas time, Eddie Smith, you know, sold his business, the Husky Radiator and Glass, and his father, Skinny Smith, died. And for those of you veterans, you know the names I'm calling. But now he lives down in the Wilmington area. And I talked to him on the internet, on Facebook, just a week or so before Christmas. Hey, Eddie, how's it going, man? You still serving the Lord? Because I was able to see the Lord Jesus Christ save Eddie Smith because I was sharing the gospel with him. I would go by his place of business, not because I needed a windshield, but because I established, here we go, a relationship with him. And I began to speak into his life. And when I first met Eddie, he was very critical about the church. He didn't want anything to do with the church. Not just hypocrites. He would talk about the church and talk about preachers. But you're different, Wallace. And see, what I was doing was I was building a relationship with Eddie. And then Eddie began to trust me. And I had the privilege of standing in his back room and joining hands with him and praying with Eddie about salvation. I saw one by one, I saw the Lord take my list and transform the lives of those people. And I remember when Scott Wolf got saved, Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. And I remember, oh, wow. Guess who went forward tonight? We did Heaven's Gates and Hell's Fire. Guess who went forward for salvation? Scott Wolf, the manager of Golden Corral. He's coming to church. Guess what? He didn't come to church. He went to another church. And I had to be as excited as if he were coming to mine. But as years have gone by, guess what happened? Scott Wolf and Carolyn Wolf came to Carpenter Shop International Church. You don't get to keep them all in your church, but that's not really what's important anyway, is it? What's important is the kingdom of God. Can I just ask you something today? Are you winning souls to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are the statistics pretty bleak in America because you, like many others, have just kind of reduced your relationship with God to something that happens at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning and you kind of go and refuel and then just kind of get back to normal on Monday? I'd say American church needs revival. I say we need revival. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning, and I'm going to ask you to just, at your own will, your own leisure, your own time frame, would you find you a place? It don't have to be in your Bible. Maybe you could do like I do, just create a note on your phone. Would you just begin to walk through those relationships that you have? You know, this one cuts my hair, this one does my nails. You know, where you guys get your toenails done? Come on, y'all still listening to me? This one does my hair. This one does my nail. This is where I get my oil changed. This is who does my brake work. You know, who are the people that you have relationship with? Are you hearing me? Who are the people that you do life with? And if you start writing down the names of those people, and this begins, instead of just buying, you know, a nail fix or an oil change, instead of just doing business with them, why don't you just start to say, Lord, you know Sally, she does my nails. I just pray, Father, that you would just touch Sally. I don't know anything about her spiritually. She just does my nails. But Lord, would you give me favor? Here we go. Would you give me favor as I get my nails done next week when I talk to Sally? God, would you give me opportunity to share my peace, my hope? Would you give me a chance to speak up for Christ's sake? And if you begin to do that, you know what will happen? If everybody in this church would do that, you know what would happen? The gospel being proclaimed would just go to another level. Come on, church. It would just go to another level. I don't know where you are in that process. This to me seems like an elementary message, but it's necessary. It's necessary. So, prayer team, would you come? Guys that help us on the prayer team, just stretch out across the front here. There may be individuals that say, you know what, I need help with this. You may be here today and you'd like special prayer for a physical need, maybe something you're going through. Maybe you're going through financial hardship or difficulty. Maybe there's a need for healing in your body. Just stretch out across here. And listen, those of you that are here, just come. Just come have someone agree with you this morning. Oh, you don't have to share anything, or if you like, you can share. You can tell them, hey, this is what I need prayer for. Maybe you're here today with a broken heart. Maybe you're here today with a physical issue, and it's beyond, you know, what the doctor can do. You still have a need for God's touch. Step out of your seat. Don't be passive. Be active. Your opportunity's here. It's a time to allow someone to activate the presence of God. The word says what? If any two shall agree touching any one thing, it says that it shall be done. So why don't you come as the prayer team awaits for you to be here today to just agree with you. Just step out of your seat as the worship team sings. God bless you.
Nothing but Are still open. There's people up here that can pray with you if you want that one-on-one prayer. And I know sometimes we like to keep things to ourselves. We like to close things into ourselves and think we're the only ones that's going through this, or we don't want to share anything. But you know, sometimes when you just come up to somebody and say, you know what? I just need prayer. I'm tired. I'm weak. I leak. You know, we as vessels of the Lord, we leak and we need to be refilled. And sometimes having that person that just speaks into your life, that prays with you and says, you know what? I don't know what you're going through specifically, and that's okay. I just want to connect with you today. So the altars are still open. And I'm going to pray for those that need to leave. I would love to pray with you before you leave. So let's just connect together. Lord, we thank you for the message that you gave us today. Lord, we are to love other people, and sometimes that's hard, but we know that you have called us to do that, and that you're going to give us the strength and the ability to do that, as well as win others to you. Lord, as we just go through life being ourselves, let us be filled with your presence enough to leak on other people. Yes, we leak, but let us leak on others in positive ways. Let us show them, Lord, your love. Let us make a comment or a gesture that will draw them closer to you, or a question that will be placed in their heart that will bring change, that will stir until they ask or they seek and find you. Lord, use our words, use our times together, and Lord, help us to have courage, Lord, that when someone is sharing something with us, that we can reach out and say, let me pray with you before we leave. Would that be all right? Because I can't fix it for you, and I can't take away the emotions or the feelings or the fatigue that you're going through right now, but I can pray for you. I can ask God, who is able, to give you what you need. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are calling us to love, to win, to build, to send. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to provide us with the things that we need to win others to you, especially during this time. Father, when a global Christianity is what we want and what we need, but also, Lord, that we're realizing that foreign countries have more Christians than the Western civilization. That foreign countries are sending missionaries to America Lord, that should stir within us concern and cause us to be humble at realizing we are not the Christian culture that we thought we once were. So, Lord, in efforts to bring others to you, Lord, let us realize the necessity and let us be able, Lord, to lean on others. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we ask, Lord, safety over our congregation today. Lord, safety from the harms that come in a daily life. Safety, Lord, from COVID. Safety, Father, to walk in your ways and fulfill the plans that you have set for us. We give you praise. We give you honor. Thank you, Father, for stirring us today, for giving us this challenge. And Lord, I pray that each person listening or present would take that challenge and move forward and be able to respond to what you're speaking to them today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Joy. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. And hey, if you want to take a CD home today from Krista, she's in the foyer. That special song, Balm of Gilead, a healing song, you can take it home today. Go by and see her in the main hallway there. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of the service today in person and online. Have a great day.